Do you know what sort of thing these pleasures and pains are, then? I asked, and what they most resemble? What? Do you believe the world contains a top, a bottom, and something in between? Yes, I do. Don't you think if someone were taken from the bottom to the middle, he'd be bound to think he was travelling to the top? And standing in the middle looking back at where he'd come from, wouldn't he be bound to think he was at the top, if he hadn't seen the real top? If you ask me, he said, that's exactly what someone would think in that situation. And if he were taken back again, I asked, would he think, and think rightly, that he was travelling to the bottom? Of course he would. Would the cause of all this be his not having experienced the true range of top, middle, and bottom? Obviously. In which case, would it surprise you to find that people with no knowledge of truth are the same? They have unsound opinions on all sorts of subjects, and their condition, when it comes to pleasure, pain, and what is in between, is such that when they move in the direction of what is painful, their supposition is true, they really are in pain. But when they move from pain to what is in between, they are firmly convinced they have reached fulfilment and pleasure. It's like comparing black and grey when you have no knowledge of white. Lacking any knowledge of pleasure, they compare the absence of pain with pain and come to the wrong conclusion. Would it surprise me? He said. Good heavens, no. It would surprise me much more if it weren't like that. Think of it like this, I said. Aren't hunger and thirst and things like that a kind of emptiness, an empty condition of the body? Yes, of course they are. Aren't ignorance and stupidity likewise an empty condition of the soul? They certainly are. And how are people filled? By taking in food, by gaining understanding? Of course. Which gives the truer fulfilment, that which is more something or that which is less something? Obviously, that which is more something. Which kinds of thing, then, do you think have a greater share in pure being? Things like bread, drink, cooked food and nourishment in general, or the kind made up of opinion, knowledge, understanding, and in fact the whole of human excellence? The choice you have to make is this. Which do you think is more something? That which is connected with what is always the same, immortal and true, itself possessing these qualities and being found in the context of things with these qualities? Or that which is connected with what is never the same and mortal, itself possessing those qualities and being found in the context of things with those qualities? That which is connected with what is always the same is far superior, he said. Well, does anything have a greater share in the being of what is always the same than knowledge does? No. Does anything have a greater share in truth than knowledge does? Again, no. And if anything has a smaller share in truth, doesn't it also have a smaller share in being? Necessarily. As a general rule, then, will the kinds of things involved in care of the body have a smaller share, both of truth and of being, than the kinds involved in care of the soul? Much smaller. And don't you think the body itself has a smaller share than the soul has? Yes, I do. Very well. Is what is filled with things which have more being, and itself has more being, more genuinely filled than what is filled with things which have less being, and itself has less being? Of course. So, if being filled with things appropriate to our nature is pleasurable, then that which is more genuinely filled and filled with things which have more being would make people more truly and genuinely happy, giving them true pleasure. Whereas that which takes in things which have less being would be less truly and lastingly filled, and get hold of a pleasure which was less trustworthy and less true. That inescapably follows, he said. If the entire soul, then, follows without rebellion the part which loves wisdom, the result is that each part can in general carry out its own functions, can be just, in other words. And in particular, each is able to enjoy pleasures which are its own, the best, and as far as possible, the truest. Absolutely. When one of the other parts takes control, there are two results. It fails to discover its own proper pleasure, and it compels the other parts to pursue a pleasure which is not their own and not true. That's right, he said. Would this result be most noticeable with those elements which are furthest removed from philosophy and reason? Yes, easily the most. And isn't the element furthest removed from reason the one which is furthest removed from law and order? Obviously. Wasn't it the lustful and tyrannical desires which were clearly revealed to be the furthest removed? Much the furthest. And the kingly and orderly desires which were the least far removed? Yes. In which case, I imagine, the tyrant will be furthest removed from true pleasure, his own proper pleasure, while the king will be least far removed. Bound to be. So, the most unpleasant life, I said, will be the tyrant's, and the most pleasant will be the king's. Absolutely bound to be. And if the good and just man is so far ahead of the bad and unjust in terms of pleasure, won't he be an unbelievable distance ahead of him in the grace, beauty, and excellence of his life? Yes, an unbelievable distance.